Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
It's a big Sunday. We got the Super Bowl, but mostly what people are going to be tuning into is now this, the Sunday Sampler. That's right. If you're not into football, maybe catch up on some podcasts. The Bobbycast, Four Things with Amy Brown, Sore Losers, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, Get Real with Caroline Hobby. On Sore Losers, Ray talks about life in the country now that he's officially moved out of his apartment. On Get Real with Caroline Hobby, she sat down with Drake White and his wife Alex. They talked about their struggle with infertility and their IVF journey. And this week's Bobbycast was super cool. I talked with director and photographer Spidey Smith, who shot all the Morgan Wallen album covers. He's directed Eminem in a music video. It was interesting to hear his life as a photographer and then a video director and just being creative that way. So here's a clip of this week's Bobbycast.
I used to collect Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh yeah,
when I was a kid, and you know them, yeah, all of them. And I collected baseball cards too. Your son still likes to collect cards. I'm assuming it's because of your passion for it that you've had it. What do you guys like? What's fun for you guys to find? And how do you buy them? Do you do breaks? Like what? How do you do
sure.
that?
We're not into that yet, but I wanted to teach him. He's a lot like me. He's spazzy and he's just all over the place. And so I wanted to slow him down a little bit, teach him a little business stuff. He loves Ja Morant. So we nerd out on the Grizzlies, and he collects, actually. He doesn't like collecting sports because he's like, they get injured. They get suspended. I don't like it. So he collects garbage bail kits.
Oh, really?
That's his jam.
They still make those?
Huh?
Do they still make them though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do?
Numbered, graded. All that stuff. I mean, like, yeah, $1,500 cards.
You mentioned a minute ago, you mentioned tennis. I assume you played tennis then at some level because that usually doesn't come up.
Yeah.
Do you play tennis still?
I haven't played in the latter part of a year, but I'll tell you why. I started playing tennis at 5. I was 140 something in the nation as a junior tennis player in California. And California is arguably probably the best state for tennis. Florida's good too. Quit when my best friend cheated on me in a big tournament, broke like 10 tennis rackets over a trash can, and then never played until my wife, about a couple of years back, said, "You're a workaholic. You need to go play tennis." I didn't have glasses. I didn't have anything. I got back into it so diligently that it was distracting my work. It brought back that thing that I...
Are you obsessive?
Do you
get obsessed and then it's hard to not?
Yes. I'm a go-getter. You know, if I put my mind to it, if it's something that I've locked into my brain, I got to do it.
To an unhealthy state?
Yep.
I'm on OCD medication. And for a long time, I was just like, I really like stuff. But then I started to realize it wasn't natural how much, and I could not focus on anything else. Mm. And I come from a family of addicts, but I didn't always put the two together. But I'm on an OCD medication. Sure. So I asked that from somebody who also deals with that. And it would be a bit unhealthy for me because I would have blinders on whatever I was doing.
Mm.
And it would kill other relationships, sure. Not even romantic, but I would just be me and that, and that's it until I either conquer it or am bored with
that's
it.
Me.
Still?
I would be on an anniversary, not with my wife, but I remember back in the day, I would be driving to a dinner and I would get a phone call from the post facility saying, hey, someone just canceled. We can bump you in. Like, turn over, go in and work. Hey, get dinner there. It's the way I am. It must come with some drawbacks, but I also think it's a superpower. I honestly believe that. I mean, I've met my family. I'm not like organizing my shoes too crazy, but my office is absolutely OCD organized. I mean, even before our podcast, I'm looking at we have a collage of all my plaques, and I'm like, you know, when you get a collage, everything has to be
all the squares, eight corners.
Not, you're like, you're adjusting seven pictures when it's just a little off. But yeah, I mean,
the Morgan album covers.
Yeah.
Let's get back to that. How did those come about? And I'm assuming the first one, that's cool, but he wasn't what he is now.
No, the first one I think was kind of probably something from the record label.
But the first one you did.
I did. And they were like, they brought me in.
Got it.
And we hit it off great. I think all of our shoots, all albums, If I Know Me, Dangerous, and One Thing at a Time have all been 2 hours or less. Quick. The first one was definitely motivated by the label. We hit it off great. The second, can I go into a quick story?
You can go into a long story.
COVID happened. And probably the second rock bottom that I've gone through, maybe third. But this rock bottom was worse than anything I've ever felt because I was married with kids. And I hadn't worked in 8 months, didn't make a penny, living this down the street. And driving a Tesla, and I had to change things up. It was a real tough time. Anyway, I got a phone call in the new house, and I was off doing checklists while the kids are off of school. Wife is trying to make some money. I'm home alone doing checklists. You know, like, this is not what I'm meant to be doing. And this is on month 9? And I get a phone call from Morgan's manager, Tracker. He's like, hey. And I see it. I'm like, whoa, what's this? He's like, are you, what you doing? I'm like, nothing. He's like, hey, how would you, what are you doing Saturday? And this was like Thursday. Would you like to photograph arguably going to be one of the biggest albums covers in country music for Morgan? I was like, yes. Because he told me a little bit about it. You know, it's going to be a double thing. We've already done some photos, but Morgan didn't think they were fitting. He requested you. And that meant everything to me at that time. It brought me out of it. It brought me out of the dark to know that someone really, at that time, there was a first phone call. The first phone call for work was Morgan wanting to work with me because he wasn't happy with what he got. He really wanted something unique. It's because of that he called me. That was big.
Was there pressure then for you to go, okay, you want something unique?
Yeah.
I got to figure something out that isn't traditional, but not too wacky or
no.
It's going to be overboard.
My style is to unarm the artist, to just shoot a bit of the candidness, but make it feel like lightning just struck in a perfect location. You know, so like, you know, I'm obsessed with the four corners of the frame. If I got a great photo, but the background is not great or it's off or this or something's coming, I won't use it. I don't care if it's Eminem or Madonna. I don't care. It's got to go through my criteria process. And so I guess the only pressure I have is me. Because Morgan's just, he's extreme gentleman to me. I mean, he's just like, he really does kind of, yes, sir, whatever you want. I mean, it's awesome. So I think the pressure is me, and I put a lot of it, a lot. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot, EK, EK. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot, EK. Casserole things, little food for you.
your soul. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Hey, it's Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown, and here's what we talked about this week on my podcast. All right, Lisa, let's talk lost seasons of life and sitting in discomfort.
So this is a really hot one for me, and I'm really passionate about it, and I'm also very experienced in it. The last 6 months, I got completely lost in who I am, what my purpose is, if I was even ever going to do something like be on your podcast, do my own podcast, show up on Instagram. Like, I was just kind of like, I need to let myself turn into a puddle. I happened to have a very intense last year. For anybody who's been through intense things or seasons of life, we all have, right? You know, what comes after is kind of like, it's just all feels very daunting and heavy. And it can also feel very hard to do simple things. And that was kind of where I found myself, burnt out, maybe running anxious, depressed. And I had to really just like remove all of my identities and let myself get lost. Now, you might not have to do all of those things that I did in order to find yourself lost. You might just be feeling lost. But what I found from this experience that I think we can all extract is how important it is to reframe our relationship to being lost. I think a lot of us think of like lost as bad, found as being good, right? But instead, like if we remove the attachment, the good, the bad, the labels to it, they're just states of being, right? Sometimes we're lost, sometimes we're found. And every time I felt afraid to be lost, I'd imagine myself like swimming up to the top of the ocean looking for air. And I find my heart beating and I felt so scared to be lost that I was like, I got to figure this out. I got to come back to the surface. And right before I'd come back to get air, I'd dive back down and I'd be like, okay, be okay being lost, be okay being lost. And this happened a few times in my life, especially with like going off of social media, even for personal use. I found that I became kind of obsolete in knowing like what was going on in pop culture and things like that, where I'd go out with my friends and I didn't know what they were talking about. That made me feel like I didn't have a sense of like belonging. I was becoming too weird over there, but I stuck with it. I felt nervous, but I stayed with it. And the more I stayed with lost, the more lost became my state of found. And I know this sounds really strange, but it's like, the ego dissolved, all of my fears dissolved. And the more I stayed in this state, the more I kept opening doors that I didn't even know existed to myself and just information about who I truly am. So I really want to help people recognize that you will be lost again. You will be found again. You will be lost again. You will be found again. There is no permanency to either of these states. And if we can lean into the lost feeling and just remove the ego, the fear, the, you know, feeling like we need to figure it all out right now. I can't stay in the state. If we can stay with the discomfort, it actually gets so comfortable that the state of being changes how it feels.
I had to spend a lot of time getting comfortable in the uncomfortable.
And how did it feel?
And I think, it felt really uncomfortable for a while because what I was used to was what was normal for me in that season. I mean, I have a lot of different seasons, but one in particular was very chaotic. And I think when things weren't chaotic, I'm like, well, wait a second. I kind of need them to be. So sometimes I was my own worst enemy because I was then creating chaos so I could feel comfortable again. Mm. So that was something that showed me, oh, wow, I am really uncomfortable with something that actually would be healthier for me. And I keep going back to the pattern, back to this other thing, because that's what I know, even though it's toxic or not healthy. Or, and I was part of the problem. Like it was me. And sure, there were other players involved. But if I ever wanted to get unstuck from that, I had to learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable so I could work my way through it.
Right. So whenever you got uncomfortable, you found yourself latching to chaos, creating it, creating drama in some way, rather than being sitting with the state of, right? So I think that's also really beautiful and important to recognize that when you sit in the puddle of lost in the difficult seasons, you're going to start grasping for things, whether that's Amy creating chaos or whatever your version of like rushing to the surface back is. The best thing you can do is recognize and become aware. And these are normal things. Like, Amy, I hear you say it's a me problem. And It's like, that's a we problem. And it's not even a problem. When we are in any state of fear, we try to run. That is biological. But at some point, we need to put a hand on our heart and say, yes, this is scary, but I am safe. And I'm going to sit with this. And that can be really hard, especially because stillness, tending to yourself, are not things that we are necessarily taught or normalized. In fact, they're probably very insidiously shamed. Like, we're told to not be sensitive as little girls. We're told not to cry. We're told to get over it, you know, and even possibly worse for men too. So really being able to show up for yourself when you're that most vulnerable takes becoming so acutely aware of the inner state and your patterns, and then dropping even further into the discomfort. But the coolest part of that is if you drop back into that discomfort and you stay with it for just a minute, it gets comfortable. And then the magic starts happening.
It's cool to get to know the different versions of you. Mm. And, you know, you mentioned that you're not just lost once and then found. There's going to be times where you feel lost again and then you feel found again.
That terrifies me.
But each time you get to learn new things about you that you never knew. And that used to be a little bit scary, but now I'm like, oh, hey, new part of me that was probably there all along. I just didn't know it, but nice to meet you. And thanks for being here to like help me on this journey.
I love what you said, because you said part of myself that's always been there. And the purpose of a meet treat is not to transform. We use the word transform a lot because you'll leave transformed, but you leave transformed because you're coming home to yourself. And that's something that I think I'm also really passionate about sharing when it comes to wellness, is like, you don't have to change. You just have to go inside. Right. And it's like, then you go inside and yes, things change, but they're coming from your place of truth. And the way you said that was really beautiful.
All right. My cousin told me 3 years ago, get involved in your finances. It'll be empowering. I said, nope, that's my husband's strength, not mine. Well, then my divorce happened and I had no choice. I remember it was about a year ago exactly that I was on stage at my live podcast in Nashville raving about Rocket Money. It wasn't an endorsement. I was just a new fan, grateful for the help in managing my bills, budgets, and all things money with ease, because my cousin was right. It was empowering. Something else Rocket Money does, they help you manage your subscriptions. Yep, it's a personal finance app that will find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It also monitors your spending, helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. And it's pretty cool that Rocket Money has over 5 million users. That's a lot. I'm one of them. So you know you're in good hands if all these people are trusting their finances with Rocket Money. They have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Like, cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/bones. That's rocketmoney.com/bones. Check them out. rocketmoney.com/bones.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, I think I can eat a piece of pizza in under 30 seconds. Or I know it'll take you over a minute to drink that entire 2 liter. If you have, you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Now, here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they have more or less of a certain stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and a whole bunch more. Track your picks, play against others for a shot to win huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use the code BONES for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's the code BONES, only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Let's do it live. We are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers. What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What up, y'all? It is Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I live on the west side of Nashville with Baser, my wife. We do have a white picket fence at the apartment complex. Soon I'm going to have 2.5 kids. And yes, sadly, I will die of a heart attack when I'm 72 years old. Here's a clip from the last podcast.
Wired up and we're live. We are live.
I mean, I just don't understand.
You're looking live.
I just don't understand. I'm not mad. I guess annoyed would be more of a...
adjective.
I don't know.
Well, you got to explain it. You're not speaking in sentences.
Well, we come to do the pod, right? We come in the other studio, Clay and Buck, whatever. Their signs up like they own this studio. They've been in here twice in their life.
Clay and Buck!
And I walk in, and there's a bunch of people just sitting in here with a bunch of gear everywhere, like lights.
Camera action.
Like, I don't even travel bags and just, and this woman is working on her computer. And we're just like, oh, we're going to do our pod in here. She goes, oh, okay, well, there'll just be some noise in the background then because we're going to be coming in and out getting things.
What are you doing in my seat, woman?
Like, using this as a storage unit. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean you're going to? Yeah, we're going to be coming in and out. We're doing that thing over there with the cameras and the film and something. I'm like, but why are you in here then? Why are we using us as a storage locker?
A gym locker.
Like, am I crazy?
No, I think you explained it beautifully.
I mean, and then I love Ray. There they come. They're taking one of the chairs now.
It's the orthopedic no less.
They took one of the chairs. Sorry. Hey, don't mind us. My favorite part is
the one stagehand didn't exactly know what all their gear was, so he started just grabbing shit from our studio.
He grabbed my backpack and goes, is this ours? No, that's my backpack, man.
Said, what's next? Are they going to take our microphones?
Here, have my computer, dude. Go ahead. I don't need it.
Jake Arnold.
Hey, get off me! Don't touch me, you motherfucker!
I belong to the Sore Losers!
Hey, I'm
they tried to take Arnold out of here, dude. He's ours.
I mean,
Put me down.
So the funny part is, Ray comes. I just like, okay, whatever. I don't know what we're going to do. And so I was having a snack. And I was like, we'll figure it out in a minute. Ray comes in here.
It was a jump scare, Ray.
Ray comes in here. And this girl, I don't know what she does. I don't know. She's working on her computer. She's got her leather pants on. And she's typing on her computer. She's sitting where I sit to do the pod.
Get out of my throne.
And Ray looks at her and goes, oh, can you just move to the seat next to you? We're about to do a podcast in here. And she goes, okay, and gets up and just moves one seat over. Not, oh, let me get out of the room. Oh, you're going to do a podcast in this room? Maybe I shouldn't sit in here. Maybe I should go somewhere else. She goes, okay, and she literally just moved one microphone over.
She's a new listener. Try and not rip on her.
No, she's not going to listen to this spot.
She said she will.
She right.
I said, we get to swear on this podcast. It's unregulated. And she goes, no shit. And I said, yeah, no shit. And so she's going to start listening.
And I said, oh, you're going to listen? She goes, yeah, I can't wait. Which sounded like a very sarcastic that she's not going to listen. But it was just so baffling.
Ray, those are the Hulu people.
Was it not? I don't know. Whatever. Hey, they're out. They're good.
Well, thanks for warning me. I came around the corner and had an equally bad jump scare. You go to a space where you try to find some sort of normalcy.
I thought you knew.
Dude, I walk into a room and there's 18 duffel bags like a minor league hockey team was in here.
I thought you knew.
But Amy, Radio Amy from Four Things Podcast.
Four Things with Amy Brown.
In Bone's office, they had four different cameras right around this table.
Lights. I mean,
there couldn't be any more gear in there. And Amy goes and plops down right in the middle of it all and starts doing commercials, recording them. I mean, she didn't give two shits.
Hey, Amy is. She lets nothing stop her. They may be shooting a commercial or whatever they're shooting in there. Amy's going to get her work done. We're in here in the middle of doing our pod. Amy's going to come in and ask her question about do you have anything from San Antonio? Tomorrow's San Antonio Day for my kid's school. I mean, Amy?
Yeah, I have an armadillo in my pants.
If there's one thing Amy's going to do, it's going to get the job done.
Hey-o. All right, that was a hell of an intro.
Oh, my God, dude. That was fun. I mean, what was your reaction? Like, what did you say to the girl?
Ray, I'm going to sound off.
No, what did you say to her? Like, because you kind of walked in here.
I was trying to be social and actually talk to them and see how they're doing, and you just go, I don't know. I don't know. And then you were walking around and not explaining yourself. So then I had to tell them, we have a podcast. And she said, oh, is it a little podcast? I said, yes, it's a little one. It's not the big show.
But we have a convention, so how little is that, mother?
Oh. Oh. But yeah, I think she liked us.
I don't think she did.
Oh.
I think she was, I think, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that she was more annoyed that she had to leave the room. That she had to pack up and leave, like they had to pack up 26 bags and move it somewhere else.
But I will tell you guys, it was an old-fashioned rivalry. It was TV versus radio, baby. And who won?
Hey, it's Mike D, and this week on Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, I talked about movie birthdays. The bit I'm betting into is pretty self-explanatory, so while I have you here, I just want to highly recommend for you to go over and subscribe to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. We talk about movie history, I give you spoiler-free movie reviews, and I break down the latest trailers to let you know what is good coming out or what looks a little bit bad coming out in theaters or streaming at home. So check it out. But right now, here's a little piece from the latest episode. I got a big old list of movies celebrating birthdays this year. Talking about movies turning 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. So what I did, I compiled the top 10 from each of these years, which to go into consideration, I scoured the internet looking at box office numbers, looking at critic scores, looking at the most searched about movies according to Google. And for each of these years, I have what made the top 10. I'll rank them 1 through 10. And then we're going to play the fun game where I pick the one movie that I would save out of all of those 10. And then also, just for funsies, we're going to set one on fire. If I could eliminate one of these movies from existence out of these top 10s from the year, we're going to get rid of them. So let's get right into the list, right into the game. Movies turning 10 years old this year. They came out in 2014. I was 23 years old at the time. The number 10 movie of the year is Nightcrawler, which is such a good movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal. This was the one that solidified him in my mind as somebody who could really do it all. He had the look in this movie. He went to places that I kind of question exactly what happens with Jake Gyllenhaal behind closed doors because he played this character so well, who is this photographer who really takes it up as a hobby and realizes he can make money by taking pictures and videos from crime scenes because if it bleeds, it leads. So he got so obsessed with it that he went a step further and a step further, and then the whole movie gets crazy. So if you have just one vision of Jake Gyllenhaal in your head, maybe it's more on the rom-com side, maybe it's more just on the straight-on action side. If you haven't seen Nightcrawler, could not recommend it more. But that one comes in at number 10. At number 9 is Fury, which is one of my favorite war movies of all time. Maybe it's because Brad Pitt's in it, maybe because it has a little bit of Shia LaBeouf. The entire cast is amazing in Fury, and just a really powerful story, and told with just the right amount of grit and the right amount of war action. At number 7 is Gone Girl. It is one of those movies that'll blow your mind the first time you watch it. At number 6, American Sniper, which gave me quite the trip to go see this movie in theaters, one that I'd remember vividly. This was one where very specific moments I remember in this movie were the entire theater was shocked, and you could just almost feel that energy. It was palpable. And man, some really great war stories here in 2014. That one's at number 6. At number 5, we're getting into the Marvel stuff. You have Captain America, the Winter Soldier. At number 4, Guardians of the Galaxy. At number 3 is Whiplash, which to some people, this is their favorite movie of all time. This one took me a little bit to get. First time I watched Whiplash, I was like, huh, that was interesting. J.K. Simmons is good. Miles Teller is good. But it really took all the nominations to come out and people hyping this movie up so much that I had to go back and watch it and think, was that really that good? And every now and then a clip of it will get posted on TikTok and I'll be like, okay, I get it now. But it took me a little bit to really warm up to the impactfulness of Whiplash.
And yes, on the surface, it is a movie about drumming, but there's also so much more to that. At number two is Boyhood, which was a movie that was shot over several years. And that was really the whole, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but the whole premise in this movie, what really made this movie appealing to critics and why people really made this a notable movie was because of the way they filmed it. Got together every few years and filmed parts of the movie. That way, in the film, you were actually watching these characters age. Aside from that, I really don't remember exactly what happens in Boyhood. Just a story about, well, kid growing up. But at number one on the list from 2014 is Interstellar. You could argue this is one of the best sci-fi movies of all time, and I wouldn't call you crazy if you told me that. Another movie that took me a couple of watches to really love and understand, more than a couple, maybe even three or four, that once I actually went back, and it is a long movie, and sat with the idea of it, appreciated the way that Matthew McConaughey just oozes emotion at all the right moments in this movie. And you think about the entire idea behind Interstellar, quite magnificent, but you would really expect no less from Christopher Nolan. So out of those top 10, if I could only keep one, call me basic, but I'm keeping number one mainly because out of all the sci-fi movies in the last 10 years, this one barely makes the cut. It is the one that just has it all when it comes to the visual aspect of it, the storyline, the cast, the cinematography, and the score in Interstellar is one of Christopher Nolan's best. So I'm going to have to keep Interstellar. And the movie that I'm going to burn, and maybe I was a little biased when talking about it earlier, but it's Boyhood. Boyhood is going up in flames. And the reason is, everybody told me how amazing Boyhood is. And when I watched it, quite honestly, I was bored. I got it. I understood the appeal of it, the dramatic side of it. It's about a family, people getting divorced, all these coming of age things that happen to one kid in particular. And you see the kid actually grow up on screen. But aside from that, I don't really think it's that good of a movie. It's fine. It's artistic. But I watched it once and I never need to watch it again. So if I had to get rid of one movie turning 10 this year, it would be Boyhood. See you later. All right.
Hey y'all, it's Caroline Hobby from Get Real with Caroline Hobby, and here is a clip from this week's episode.
Because honestly, you going from your stroke to you going to diabetes with your autoimmune disorder, mm-hmm. with your infertility on top of it, with the fact that you, Drake, are a superstar and everyone knows it, and it's like, why have you not had your Chris Stapleton moment yet? You know, it's like, when is it coming? Which, by the way, I ran into Chris Stapleton at Walgreens, mm-hmm. looking for candy canes, and I did not know that it was Chris Stapleton, and he was standing in front of the candy canes, and I was like going up looking around, there's this guy standing in front of the candy canes, and it was freaking Chris Stapleton, and I was like, hi, Chris Stapleton. Is that my Chris Stapleton moment? I think that was my Chris Stapleton moment.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And Michael had a song out with him at the time that they wrote 7 years ago called Room Full of Strangers. And I played him his song in Walgreens.
Look at this is my husband.
I said, remember when you read the song with Michael? It's out right now. Can I play it for you? And he's like, what? I'm like, here, Chris Stapleton. And I just played him the song in Walgreens. So I had a Chris Stapleton moment.
You're like, Merry Christmas.
I just need to announce my Chris Stapleton moment. But it's like, why have you not had your Chris Stapleton moment yet? You know, because you know you're supposed to have it. Everyone knows you're supposed to have it. Mm. Anybody who knows you, anyone who's followed your career, anyone who sees you on stage, who knows your songwriting, your heart, all of it, knows you're supposed to be this huge thing. Mm. But it's like, why has that moment not happened? And you fought for it for so long and you got knocked down for so long. And it's like, it's so fresh. It's beyond frustrating, actually. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm. I mean, I battle it every day. I battle the, I call it the battle between your ears. And Alex is, she sees, I'm such a deep personality, like as far as driven. Like I'm driven so hard. And like, even though, you know, we've had Hawk and he is a massive priority, the biggest priority. Music is, for me, is something that I don't even think about. I don't even try. It just consumes. And I mean, you know that you're a musician, you live with one. And as far as what I've came, I'm super competitive, and I really try to live in the fact that everything's happening as it should. Everybody's for me. Nobody's trying to manipulate the system so Drake White doesn't have his Chris Stapleton moment.
But you feel that way at sometimes.
Oh, I mean, I definitely feel that way, and I have felt that way. And Alex talks me off the ledge, and I dude, it might happen tomorrow. I mean, because I am human, I don't have it all figured out. I never will have it all figured out. My goal is to play Madison Square Garden three nights in a row, and I'm going to do it.
I know you will.
But there are voices in my head every day that says, you're 40, your window of opportunity is gone, your song's not enough. If you're not writing with Natalie Hemby, you're not going to get the thing. If you're not writing with this guy, if you're not in this clique, if you're not looking like this, if you don't, you know, have more hair.
TikTok's perfect. Yeah, I mean, the whole freaking TikTok generation now. I'm like, God.
There's a lot of pressure, but that's where the peace comes in of – I always pray this prayer on my I call them the 2:30 a.m. shakes. You know, when you wake up at 2:30 and you got to pee, and then how you're going to pay the bills creeps in or something.
Yeah.
And you're like,
then the mind starts racing. And it's like, okay, I have all this faith in God, but I got to get back to my human right now because my bills are due.
Yeah.
And now I got a kid.
The prayer is like, please protect my mind. Put a hedge of protection around this house, around my baby and around my wife, and help me, because I know what I want to do.
If I put that in you.
Yeah, with the platform. And you put these seas of people in front of me. You put my dreams in front of me, and I know it's coming. I know that everything's setting up, and I'm going to be blown away by it, because why would he have brought us through what he brought us through if he didn't have something massive on the other side?
I know.
Whatever that may look like. And I surrender, and I'll say this is hard because I know what I want, and I think I know what he wants, but whatever my prayer is, you know, whatever is your will, that's what I want to happen. And if it's for me to go play in nursing homes and all that stuff, that would, right now I hate saying that because I love the fact of I'm so competitive, and I see people and I'm like, man, that, you know,
I'm better than them,
but it's not really that, but it is but it's not that.
But you're like, listen, you're a 23-year-old guy who just started singing yesterday, and now you're blowing up on TikTok, and oh my God, it's like, and you're not, it's not even to like hate on them because I'm so happy for everyone to have their moment, mm-hmm. but it's like when you truly are this artist and this craftsman and this, like, it's so deep in you, and you've given your entire existence and life and soul to it, and you've had like so many things, but it's just never ticked over. You're just like, there comes these moments you're like, what am I even doing this for?
I'll tell you this story. I've never told this story publicly, but it's the Riley story. Riley had this thing during the pandemic called the Golden Green. Yeah. And he had this thing that he's from five miles away from where I'm from.
Were y'all friends growing up?
No, he was like 5 years younger.
Okay.
And honestly, and I'm really good buddies with him now. I support him. I love Riley. I think he's an amazing dude. And shout out to Riley. Okay. He wants me to come do this Golden Saw series during the pandemic. I didn't know Riley yet. I can't really walk. I can't play guitar. I'm getting to the point where
I had to drive him there.
And Alex goes, you're doing it. I said, I'm not doing it. I was so, it wasn't jealousy. It was just, you know, I'd been dropped by basically everybody that was my team was now his team.
Oh, God. Talk about rubbing salt in the wound.
And so everybody, literally, verbatim, like everybody.
And then you just had the stroke on top of it. So right. It's not just, it's you're just like on the mat.
So that was one of the cell phones that broke. Was he said, if anybody, and dude, he's, like I said, he's a good buddy now. He said, if there's anybody, if there's anything me or my team can do to help y'all, let me know.
Like, oh, maybe don't drop me.
Break the cell phone.
Maybe you wouldn't have dropped me and you could have pushed my song up the charts. Yeah. That would have helped.
So we go do the Saw, the Golden Saw series.
And I told him,
but
I
that's
was like,
swallowing your pride right mm-hmm. there. I mean, talk about taking a humble pill. Like, not only you just got dropped, you just had your stroke, and now the hot new thing's calling you and asking you to come play, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to show up with a good attitude. Man, talk
and
about
that. And he's got to play guitar on my songs.
And he's so cute on top of it. You
he's
know,
very
he's
cute.
Like a little star out yeah. there, and you're just like, well, shit.
He's like, he's the most kind,
of course,
good-hearted,
of course he is,
human, and that's why when he called and was checking on Drake, and you know, we, in, you know, there's a full circle moment. But I was like, if God has done,
wait a minute, I got that's my punchline. You're gonna take the punchline.
Don't take the punchline.
Like,
no,
you're about to take the. You're about to say
no,
it.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Go.
No,
I love how married
so
y'all are.
We,
this is my favorite.
We come in and
to the team.
we go and do the thing and. And I'm still like, I do not want to go do this.
Why would you?
And she's like, I think you should do it.
That's a good wife right there, pushing you.
Well, through it all, now that we're good buddies, we hunt together. We've wrote. I don't know why he hasn't cut some of the songs we wrote because they're great. But
I'm just saying,
cut the songs. But we are buddies, and I love this dude. I really do. We'll be buddies forever. God showed me through that if you will help him do what you want to do, I'll help you do what you want to do.
Oh, but man, that's one of the, y'all have gotten some, this is why it's going to be so big
for
you.
I'm sitting here pissed off. I mean,
you've gotten some of the hardest lessons though. You've had to do the hardest lessons and you've had to put your face on mm-hmm. through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's tough.
It's just a constant reminder though. You know, when you're going through the thick of it, of like, you know, why are we going through this? Why are we going through this? Well, they're not going through it. They're not having to deal with this. Well, if God will do it for them, he'll do it for us.
Mm.
If God will do it for, you know, Riley.
And who knows what Riley's struggles are. He's probably
exactly.
a whole world
and
he is
you never know what precious. A man's going through.
He is so just like.
And who knows what he's had to deal with? Because that's what I've learned too. Yeah. Everybody is silently struggling.
And that was this week's Sunday Sampler. Listen to the full episodes. New episodes are out every week, so there's something new to listen to. Make sure you subscribe and rate and review. Have a good Super Bowl Sunday. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.